Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. Lots of fun stuff going on. I'm going to talk a little bit about Ocho Cinco was wanting to tweet during some games, the latest on Brett Favre watch, Stallworth was released from prison. We're also going to talk a little bit about behind the scenes here at Football Diehard, some of the magazines that are about to be coming out and are coming out. Lots of great stuff, and to talk about all that is Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDiehards.com. Bob, how you doing?
The senior editor, as in ancient.
Not ancient. Senior as in, like, the best of editors, correct?
Oh, I thought it was, like, senior. Senior editor. No?
Senior?
Okay.
No, I don't know.
All right. I misspelled senior. Okay.
No, it's okay. There's no Enya over it.
I didn't have my Enya in place.
No Enya in place. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Skip?
Oh, I can't complain. Another Friday, another show. Took it actually an unknowing vacation on the last show, so our apologies to all of our diehard listeners who were
not. Honestly, it was rather fortuitous because we were so busy making magazines, I didn't really want to take a half hour at that point to do a show. But, that aside, we're back.
It worked out. We're back, and we're glad to be here. Well, want to go ahead and get into some of the behind-the-scenes and magazine-type stuff, but briefly want to touch about some of the stuff that's gone on in the past week. First of all, a very, very sad story from the NFL and Steve McNair being shot and killed on the 4th. Your thoughts on that, Bob?
I do. And, it's horrible that I hate that I have to have thoughts on it, but I do have thoughts on it. You know, I kind of agree with what Brian Belick said. I mean, the sad part of this is that Steve McNair is forever going to be remembered for this and not what his accomplishments were on the field. For all, we're all trying to put the focus on the field. But, over the period of time, anytime Steve McNair is discussed, that asterisk, as Ryan Billick put it, of how he died is going to be there and what was going on, the circumstances surrounding his death. And I guess for me, just to take it personal for a minute, it's a reminder that, doing the right thing is not always the cool thing to do. It's not always the fun thing to do. But, when the final accounting comes, everyone who did the right thing, there's not going to be a lot of asterisks, And I hate that it's going to be there because what a great career. I mean, one of the toughest players ever in the NFL. Guy you could count on to be on the field week in, week out, no matter what. A guy who played hard. A guy who played for his teammates and made his teammates better.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
It's going to be close. I think he probably won't be considered a Hall of Famer, perhaps again because of this asterisk, this mark on his reputation. There's more information of the rather scurrilous nature coming out about his private life, and I think we're going to probably be hearing more of that over time. And that's a sad fact. As an adult male, I like to comport with young females with the rest of them, but as an unmarried person with no children, I'll never have to explain why I'm with a 20-year-old girl shoots me. So, I just think you got to make the right decisions in life or, you're going to end up with, the chances of ending up with issues, whether it's this severe or not. I mean, it's just a good lesson to when you're sitting down, when you're going through life and decisions, every day we make 1,000 decisions. Try to make the good ones. You'll be better off for it in the end. Again, it's a tragic loss. You hate to see it happen. A man 36 years old, 4 children growing up without a father.
And those are the real victims here. His 4 children are the real victims who aren't ever going to be able to have their father pass this, never going to be able to have their father at graduation. Those are the victims here.
Too horrible to even contemplate. I mean, when you put it in those terms, I just hate to even think about it.
So it's really terrible, and I mean, a lot of people are saying that we should be trying to remember him for the on-field stuff, as you were saying. But, if people can look at this story and if it helps one person to go ahead and sit down, look at their life, and try to make some right decisions in them, maybe there's a silver lining to this very, very dark cloud.
And that's what we always try to take from these tragic occasions where, our heroes, these larger-than-life figures, and in Steve McNair's case, I mean, this guy would play through anything, so he's one of those people that a lot of players look up to and a lot of players admire. And, I think for, a lot of people like that, it's going to be easy to overlook, the circumstances. But in the bigger picture of history, that's going to be part of the story forever. And it's a sad thing.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and move on now to Adante Stallworth, actually released from jail early this morning after serving 24 days of his 30-day jail sentence for DUI manslaughter. What are your thoughts on that?
Memo to self, next time I'm in trouble, find that lawyer.
I think Christopher Lyons was his name.
I'm telling you, this. Yeah, I don't want to get into the, you know, the whole legal situation, the whole legal system. I mean, it's obviously a bigger issue than we can solve here today. I find it hard to believe that someone can, you know, I mean, in my opinion, I've said this in previous shows, you know, when you get behind the wheel impaired, I neither drink nor drive, so I can speak and say whatever the heck I want about it. I mean, you have to be an idiot to get behind a wheel impaired. My mom is out there on the road, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your children, everyone's out there on the road, and you make yourself into a weapon. Whatever the charges were, whatever the penalties he's paying in legal terms and professional terms and in terms of his personal finances are going to pale in comparison to going to bed every night knowing he killed a man because he decided to have a good time one night. And I just can't imagine living with that every day of your life, even, you know, no matter what you pay. Now, for the ramifications on the field, I still believe that Roger Goodell is going to land on him. He's currently stalwart, indefinitely suspended, and I think at some point here in the near future, that's going to become a definite suspension, and I think it's going to be harsh. And I point to the fact that you look at Roger Goodell, didn't want to address the return of Michael Vick until his full sentence was complete, meaning his home confinement as well as his prison time. Well, you know, kind of depending on your interpretation, again, Dante Stallworth has good lawyers, and so, you know, his community confinement, which is really house arrest, is another 2 years. Does Roger Goodell wait those 2 years before he considers letting him back? It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, and it would actually look likely at this point based off of how he's handled situations in the past. And it seems like a lot of people are really looking at where to point the finger on this. And the only real finger I can really see pointed is at the DAs and the elected officials out there in Florida that have allowed this to happen. I mean, there was a plea deal that came down, and he paid an undisclosed amount of money to kind of help this settle. But at the end of the day, it was the judges and lawyers and DAs out there that were helping to strike this deal. And, I mean, until you try to get people in there who are going to really follow your morals and your that's really nothing else can be done.
Yeah, you know, you do. Yeah, I hear a lot of complaints, and I'm not saying that I disagree with complaints. But, wow, he got off so easy compared to, say, Michael Vick. And he did. He got off very easy. And I would suggest Leonard Little got off easy, too, back when he was in a similar situation. And he got off easier with the league than I suspect Dante Stallworth did with an 8-game suspension at the time. But, you know, the truth is any player, I mean, when you make the kind of money these guys make and when you have – it goes back to McNair. It's about making the right decisions. If you're sitting at a bar somewhere and somebody just handed you a $2.5 million signing bonus, as was the case with Stallworth, dude, call up a car service. It's, you know, I mean, think about that. I hate to laugh about the situation, but when you think about the idiocy and the poor judgment and you wonder what the heck, I mean, why would these guys – risk anything. I mean, hey, I've been a partier in my life. I've had good times. But, you know, if there was a position, if I was at a point in my life where I stood to make millions over a short period of time, let's say an NFL career is 4 years, maybe 6 years. Hey, if all I have to do is to make multi-million dollars, in his case, I think what was the last contract would have set him up for life. All I had to do is keep my nose clean for some period of time. I think I could set the party aside for a while.
Well, absolutely. You mentioned things like calling a car service, too. I mean, I always think of these stories going back to the HBO show Entourage, where, I mean, hire one of your high school or college buddies to drive you around for $30,000 or $40,000 a year, and you can make his life, too. There are so many other choices here, and it seems like so many times these players fall short on them.
Yeah, I agree. They hire security. Players have security to go around with them. You know, and I thought it was a little disturbing to hear that, you know, some of the details of what was going on that night where he and Braylon Edwards happened to be in the same places partying down and spent, you know, I think $5,000 on liquor, you know, bottle of this, bottles of that, shots of this. And you know, you just and now the reports are out that, you know, Stallworth did test for positive for marijuana at the time. So, you know, he's obviously getting high, too. And it's just, you know, again, decision-making. It's not, you know, it's not that hard to make the right decision. We all know the right decisions. And it's just a matter of executing. And you'd like to see some of these guys that are given this great privilege of playing in the NFL. And, you know, Peter Parker said it. With great power goes great responsibility. You know, these guys are given this opportunity to set themselves up for life, to entertain us, to have a job that's a game. You know, I'm not saying it's not, you know, to diminish the work that goes into it. But, you know, it could be a heck of a lot worse for them. And to make those kind of decisions, it's just baffling. It's absolutely baffling to me.
Absolutely. Well, another player who often makes decisions, sometimes more of the humorous variety, is Ocho Cinco. He came out earlier and said he was hoping to be able to tweet during the games this year. League's now come down and said that's probably not going to be able to happen due to their rules on electronic devices on the field and on the bench. Your thoughts on the continuing Ocho Cinco Twitter, whatever you want to call it?
I worry about Chad sometimes, seriously. I mean, you know, twittering during games. I think the best take, and ironically enough, offered up through a tweet was from Mark Schlereth, who offered the following to those who follow his Twitter account. Ocho Cinco says he will tweet during games, and he wonders why Cincinnati can't win. Idea, play football during games.
Yeah, it's a real novel idea, and especially with the player coming off of one of the worst years of his career. Was that last year was the worst year of his career?
Yes, and you know, there's something else about Ocho Cinco that I don't have the stats in front of me. But, I mean, I think since he started his account, he has put up a tweet like once every 30 seconds. You know, I mean, he has thousands. I could go to his account right now. He has thousands of updates up. And, I mean, you know, there's periods where he just goes off on these rambles. And, again, I've said this in previous shows, and I'll say it again. I mean, not every thought has to be shared.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually follow his Twitter. About 5 hours ago, he was trying to put together a Twitter fantasy sports page team, and he said the first 10 people to respond to his message would get into his fantasy football team this year.
The only rule is that
he gets to draft himself.
I try. You know, it is interesting to follow some of the players, and I think any fan out there, if you're a fan of a player, try to find them. You know, use the verification system now that Twitter has to find the actual players. Drew Brees is just coming online a little bit and starting to shoot some tweets out to the peeps.
Shaquille O'Neal is classic.
Shaquille O'Neal, I like Steven Jackson, is very entertaining. You know, some of these players really, Larry Fitzgerald putting out some interesting stuff. I mean, things like photos of his workouts up in Minnesota with all these other players, all these other receivers who are joining him and how hard they're working. I mean, things like that are you know, actually have some value. But I'm not sure all Ocho Cinco have a lot of value. But, hey, it is entertaining. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And the latest on Brett Favre, he still wants to play for the Vikings. Vikings still want him.
I understand Brett Favre might want to play football this year. And if he does, it might be for the Vikings, nothing certain. However, he has reportedly put a down payment or a deposit down on the condo in the Minnesota in the area of the team. The team's trainer visited him a second time yesterday or 2 days ago. This is just no longer a matter of when, it's a matter of when, and it has been for a while, and I suggest we'll have something maybe this week, certainly next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to try and get the big media blow up out of the way before trick camp actually opens. So I think they'll try and get it done, you know, and get all the interviews out of the way, and he can tell Ed Werder that he's never. Oh, he can't tell Ed Werder he's never coming back again. He's coming back again. Dang.
Well, and you know, call me crazy, but it just really seems like he wants to stick it to Green Bay.
Of course, he wants to stick it to Green Bay. I mean, that's what this has been about all along. I've said this before. It's a boyfriend girlfriend situation with Ted Thompson. He's very, you know, he was very hurt, and I think it's just funny because, you know, the truth is, Brett Favre retired every year, and they, you know, and it was basically beg me to come back, and I'll come back, and they basically begged him. And the first year they didn't beg him to come back. Boy, he's pretty upset about the whole thing still. And you know, hey, whatever it takes to motivate a guy, I think, you know, again, we should look at this objectively as a fantasy owner and say, hey, if Brett Favre is playing for Minnesota, and the latest report is they're tweaking their playbook, you know, 40% of their playbook has now been tweaked to use his skills.
Oh, I thought they were tweeting their playbook.
Tweaking.
Oh, tweaking. Okay, that makes more sense.
Tweaking. I have tweet on the mind, maybe. And he knows the playbook well. And honestly, I mean, if anyone who doesn't think that if Brett Favre is healthy, the Vikings aren't a better team than they might be with Tarvarius Jackson or Sage Rosenfels under center, I mean, they are. They're going to be. Will they be a Super Bowl team? Well, that's Brad Childress's bet, because basically, I believe he's in his contract year. If he doesn't get it done this year, he's probably going to get the heave-ho either way. So, you know, he's grasping at a straw, and Brett Favre is a pretty substantial straw to grasp at. Assuming he's the Brett Favre we saw the first half of the season in New York physically, Brett Favre played pretty well. He didn't know the offense well, and this year he'll know the offense well. He has better pieces around him, in my opinion, than Adrian Peterson. Got a solid tight end in Vicente Shienko. Got good wide receivers. Got a young rookie playmaker in Percy Harvin. I think it's a good situation for him to go into, and hey, don't discount the motivation to get him to stick it to the pack twice. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. Well, that's pretty much all we're going to touch on in the actual world of news. But very exciting, very busy time for everybody at Football Diehards. Magazines are coming out.
Magazines are coming out. Actually, the first one is out, the Fantasy Football Pro Forecast. It's our oldest one. This is our 20th anniversary edition, for crying out loud. That seems kind of impossible. But, you know, it's
time
out already.
Time flies when you're crunching stats.
Huh?
Time flies when you're crunching stats.
You know, it's hard. It really is hard to believe. I mean, I can remember when I first met our publisher, Emil Cadlick, who runs the company, Fantasy Sports Publications, and he had been putting this thing out for a year or two and was selling me some advertising as a different site. And, I saw the book. It was a cool book. And over time, we got closer. I started working for him. And it's the hobby's taken off. Everything we thought, and we would sit around and shoot the bull and say, God, everyone's going to want to do this. And, the league's going to want to get in on this. And, God, advertisers are going to want to get in on this. And at the time, nobody wanted to get in on this except us. And to watch how it's evolved and the things that have taken place over time and trying to keep up with the evolution, I think, speaking of magazines in general, and since we're doing a podcast and we're talking on the interweb, there's a tendency, you hear a lot of people, oh, magazines, they're no good, they're outdated the minute you get them. And I think, one of the things when you make magazines, you have to understand the limitations, and we do, and that's why we've got a website, and that's what, basically, we've been using since 1996 a website as an extension of magazines, and every year we've gotten better at it. And this year we're doing something a little special called the Football Diehard Stimulus Plan, and it has nothing to do with Little Blue Pills. It has everything to do with saving you $20. Anyone who buys a magazine gets our full regular season and preseason online services, including the Diehard's Drafter Tool software, some of the best draft software you'll find out there. You get all our rankings, you get all our preseason content, the August update, you get our weekly flash update, regular season stuff, you get all that free. It's got text messaging features, so, if you want to follow players, you like to follow the news. During the regular season, I'll be doing close to 40 to 50 updates daily on all the injured players right after practice, the minute they get on the practice field, as they're coming off, we'll have updates up. So you can just keep on top of things. We have weekly rankings every week. It's a pretty robust package. There's a lot of information there, and it's all free. You buy a magazine, it'll come with a code. You punch the code into the website, and everything's free to you. So
all that information's golden. It's all presented, and it flows. It's very, very well done.
Yeah, and I think this is something we've been doing now. I've been doing this since 1993, the Flash update in particular. And it is something that we're real comfortable with how we present the information. I think you're going to see we're pushing the boundaries again this year. We have something called Fantasy Nation, which is our version of Twitter, which actually allows you to hook into your Twitter account and post to both places. But we're going to try and bring the conversation up. And basically, there's different levels of fans. We understand that. And, some people, they want to know every single thing. They don't want any of their news filtered. That's where the Fantasy Nation aspect will come in. People will be able to post everything there. You will find things there, tidbits from fan message boards, undoubtedly, all kinds of things. And for the people who, don't have the time to sit there and spend 29 hours a day on the internet looking at stuff, you can go to the Flash Update page. Everything's there in a concise package. So we're trying to run the broad gamut. And I think what we've learned over time is, everyone says, I go on a radio show or I'll do something and someone says, oh, fantasy football expert. And I say, no, I'm not the expert. My job is making the people who use my work the expert. And that's something we've learned with the magazines and the website is to the goal is making the people who read and the people who use our services a little bit smarter than the guys they're playing with. Because we all know, a point here, a point there, a better decision here, better decision there, and that's the road to fantasy success. So what we've done with the magazines is we try to help you build a baseline of information. Not everyone can follow the league every minute like I do or like we do for you. And so, we sit here all off-season. We put up news all off-season. There's no doubt about it. But not everyone can follow it. So I think a lot of people like to have the magazine to get them that start, that jump start in the summer, kind of get their juices flowing. It's nice to have something to hold in your hand. And then to extend it out with the web service, I think, is the ideal thing. So we're trying to make it a single unit this year with the Football Diehard Stimulus Plan. We think you'll enjoy it. I like the Fantasy Football Pro Forecast magazine myself. It's been, obviously I have a dog in the fight, but it's our biggest one. We have a great, crew of experts. I think when you look at our experts poll and mock draft, you see John Hansen, the fantasy guru. You have Nathan Zagura, the fantasy consultant. Tristan Cockcroft from ESPN. we have Adam Kaplan, one of our oldest friends from Sirius Radio and Scout.com. Brandon Funston from Yahoo. We have Jamie Eisenberg from CBS. We have Nick McKay, a renowned fantasy football celebrity who actually won the league last year. We have Mike Harmon from Fox Sports. Myself, we have Shane Schrader. And this year, another thing we're doing with all the magazines is we're injecting more high-stakes winners. We're trying to bring in guys who are just regular guys who have won a bunch of money and trying to get their perspective on how they play the game. So we have Shane Schrader, who won $1 million last year. We have Ian Ritchie and Mark Deming, who are the number one ranked fantasy players on Football Diehard's rankings. You can go to the site and check those out. They're pretty cool. Todd Ullman, another $300,000 winner. So we've got this mix of guys bringing you their views on the game, giving you their strategy, and we think that's pretty useful. Got a ton of great articles in the magazine. Nice interview with D'Angelo Williams. And Matt Waldman's strategy primer. We got rookie reviews, the coaching. We review the coaching changes down to the coordinator level. A lot of good information. Very serious book. It's my favorite. You can order it online with all these books. And if you order all four, it's $6 a pop. So $24 for all four. Plus the stimulus package.
Yeah, you really can't beat that deal. And that's actually just the pro forecast. But there's three other magazines that have tons of information too. We got the Cheat Sheets, which is in the 12th year. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, the Cheat Sheets is something we came up with that was really the focus would be on cheat sheets. So we've got a top 200 draft list, consensus cheat sheets, and again, we try to bring in the opinions from a variety of people. We have 15 experts, and we just it's. The goal there is to present the various opinions. We have some great articles in there, too, this year. We started, in each magazine, each of the last three magazines, we have a who's number one. We start with the quarterbacks in the cheat sheets. Mike Beacom from Sports Buff does a great job of covering the, Brady, Breeze, Warner, Manning, who to pick number one. We have a really nice draft strategy article by John Georgopoulos of Sports Grumblings. We bring in the team reviews by Howard Balzer, a name you might recognize from USA Today Sports Weekly and Sirius Satellite Radio. He's a regular contributor to this magazine, does a great job. Myself and Joe Hebert also contribute. Mike Jones, also a contributor. Mike Jones also works hard on all these magazines, and we really appreciate his input on these too. But I think, the cheat sheets, the thing about it is, of course, the cheat sheets. Tons of them, performance. You get sleeper and bust analysis as you do in all these magazines. It's a little less of the reading, a little more of the rankings. That would be the way to look at it.
All right. We also have, in its 14th year, the Fantasy Football Draft Book, and that's pretty self-explanatory. That kind of helps you to make the perfect draft, you know?
Yeah, we've come up with, we have some really good articles in this one. Again, we try to cover all the bases, give you that baseline of information. You'll see again this year we're pushing the high stakes guys. We have a high stakes roundtable discussion where we have all the like six high stakes winners, grand total of like almost $2 million won. They sit around and they just share their strategies. We go through how do you prepare for the draft? How do you prepare for your weekly lineup? How do you figure out your free agent moves? We just go through all the different parts of the season you might want to do. I think it's a really fascinating article. We have Joe Hebert again covering the dynasty angle on things. In this particular one, we have Joe Levitt, one of my favorite writers. He handles the review of the number one running backs. We also have a nice interview with Matt Forte, who is under consideration as one of those top running backs. I had a chance to talk with him. He's always he's a very interesting guy, very humble guy, comes across really cool. Ginny Lovelace, Football Diehards, also gives her peak touch performance. She's done a couple of really great articles. She's a Fantasy Sports Writer Association Award winner from last year. And we have Eric Huber from Sports Buff covering consistency at wide receiver. Really nice article. And again, a ton of cheat sheets, a ton of rankings. We profile all the players. All the magazines have tons of profiles. I handle them in the Pro Forecast. Mike Beacom from Sports Buff handles them in the Draft Book. We have Derek Harper from the Sports Exchange handle them and some of the others, and we do a pretty good job on all that, too.
We also have in its ninth year the just regular Football Diehards magazine, and what goes into that one?
That one's a ton of fun. I think it's, it most reflects the attitude of the website. That's kind of the whole idea. Really great interview that I did with Maurice Jones-Drew, who you will be fascinated to learn is a big-time fantasy guy, offers a lot of strategy tips in the article. Very interesting guy. Big chip on his shoulder. Really interesting character. I enjoyed talking to him this year. We also do the wide receiver one in this one with Joe Levitt. We do also do another look at the high-stakes winners, kind of the strategy from a different perspective. Rookie reviews. I cover the top 12 off-season moves. We have the team report cards, again, with Derek Harper, the Sports Exchange. If you're not familiar with the Sports Exchange or you think you're not, you probably are. They are everywhere. They do a great job. You see them on USA Today. You see them on CBS Sportsline. They provide those weekly team reports from the beat writers with the team. So Derek Harper does a great job on that stuff. And, of course, there's a big batch of cheat sheets in there. Experts poll. And something we do is we take, you know, we kind of focus in this one on gutsy picks with the sleepers and busts. So Emil and I kind of do a running tally of each guy's gutsy picks and kind of discuss what their motivations might have been. Tons of stats, of course, in all the mags. Tons of stats. This one we have all the target and red zone stats that you would get on the site during the season, too. That's something else. Another tool that's part of the Flash update is always nice to keep track of the targets and the red zone touches and things like that. So all in all, pretty big package of good stuff. I, needless to say, recommend the all four for $24 option. But, hey, take your pick. You can't go wrong with any of them.
And you can get all that deal on the website at footballdiehards.com, right?
Of course you can. Hit the order button, and it'll take you right there. We set it all up. The magazine will come to you in the mail within a matter of days. You'll get an email. You'll be able to set up your account on Football Diehards for free and set up text messaging options. We're trying to give you the flexibility to get the information how you want it, and it's something we've been working on for a little while, and it works pretty darn good.
Good stuff. I want to briefly go in a little more into depth with some of the interviews you've done. Some of the interviews you've done in the past, you mentioned Maurice Jones-Drew, but we've also had D'Angelo Williams, I mean, Matt Forte, and some really big players in the past. I mean, Sean Alexander, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jake Plummer, Priest Holmes, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, it's been a pretty exciting run, you know, talking to the players. I think the part I like always talking to all of them about is the fantasy, you know, what their thoughts are of the fantasy. And, you know, Jake Plummer, not a big fan of the fantasy football thing. He told us we could all kiss his tail end. He was more interested in the field. But, you know, I think over time they've gotten to understand, and I thought Larry Johnson gave one of the best answers to that I got is, you know, he said, hey, you know, fantasy football is what makes a Philadelphia Eagle fan a Larry Johnson fan. It's what makes a Chicago Bear fan a Larry Johnson fan.
That is a great quote.
And he gets it. And some of these guys really started to get it. And one of the guys who got it most of everyone, one of the first guys who really got into the strategy and really enjoyed it, and he actually put out news for people on his website, was Priest Holmes. Just totally got it from the first day. I mean, I interviewed him two different times. And he just, you know, once you got him on the topic and he understood the strategy, even LT started getting into a little bit. They all try to downplay it, you know, the really cool guys try to downplay it a little bit, but you can tell they're interested. And when, you know, guys like Maurice Jones-Drew is playing in a championship game against Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, you know, it's getting big. And Steven Jackson, I interviewed him. Steven Jackson loves it. Can't get enough of it.
Well, who's been your favorite interview so far?
You know, I really like Steven Jackson. I thought he was a great guy, very open. But I think the guy that you have to go back to is Larry Johnson. Anytime the team's public relation guy calls you 2 minutes after the interview's over and says, what do I need to know? That's a good interview.
Absolutely. Well, once again, I want to mention all four of the magazines available now on the website at footballdiehards.com. If you buy all four, it's only $24, and they throw in the flash updates on the website for free. Anything else?
I think that covers us. Again, it's kind of a sad week with the Steve McNair. We should all, you know, maybe use it to reflect a little bit and consider our own decision-making processes, and hopefully everyone can move forward from this tragic thing, though. You hate to see it.
Yeah, take a moment, tell your wife, husband, kid, father, mom, sister, brother, anybody that you love them and care about them, and because life is short, you never know. So one more time to close, go to the website, footballdiehards.com, check out the magazines that will help you immensely in this draft, and we'll be back again next week. Bob, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, yeah, Fantasy Notebook back again this Sunday after a week off.
Absolutely. Also, check out the new Twitter-like website we got, Fantasy Nation. You can follow me, you can follow Bob, and you can follow all of us here at footballdiehards.com. We'll see you next week.